Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy radio show live here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. My name is Kyle, and we are live on the air here, not just on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash, but also live on YouTube. Shout out to everyone stopping in here on our YouTube channel as well. We've got a fantabulous show planned for you here today. We've got, obviously, some live baseball here that, kind of interesting. Nothing too exciting out of the ordinary. Cardinals, Brewers, Twins and White Sox, 1-2. I read pointless scores off the list and all five of the top headlines on Major League Baseball being about Jared Kleinick's debut, because that's something to get excited about in the middle of May in Major League Baseball, is young superstars finally making their Major League debuts, which wasn't a big deal when Tatis did it, because Tatis did it the first week of the season, and there are always things to talk about in the first week of the season. NFL schedule is out. We talked about that yesterday. And we're kind of just waiting for the NBA playoffs to get going. So that's something fun and interesting on the docket here today. And I pretty much anticipate that's where most of today's podcast is going to go, right? Is talking about the NBA playoffs and the seeding and everything. As we talked about yesterday, it's gone wrong with Boston and the top team. Well, the thing is, like, the top teams in the Eastern Conference we talk about a lot, because the top teams in the Eastern Conference are like teams that we wait for till the end. So like on the radio show, we talked about the Celtics yesterday, and on the podcast, we did an episode on the New Orleans Pelicans. So some of that stuff that we get right off the bat is like, well, we're not going to be able to talk about these teams again, like the Chicago Bulls, who are like 2.5 out with 3 to play. So they're going to miss the playoffs, and like the Hornets and Pacers, who are both actively trying to not get the 8 seed for some reason. Like, we can talk about those two all the time, and we can talk about the best of the best teams, but then we get down to the back end, and it's just like, well, we start to run out of, like, deep, interesting content. And we can obviously talk about, like, the Blazers winning 5 in a row to close out the season, or the Lakers being in the play-in round, but those are teams that get exciting over the next week, and I don't know the exact schedule for the NBA play-in round. I don't even know if the NBA has announced it. NBA play-in rounds. Schedule. Let's see if they've actually figured out how this is going to work. So NBA playoffs. So play-in round is the 18th through the 21st. I don't know how they're going to, match out these games. Playoffs start May 22nd. So I'm guessing that it's probably going to be, well, if the 18th is next Tuesday. So I'm guessing one of those days is going to be the 7-8. So one day is going to be the Western Conference, the next day is going to be the Eastern Conference, then the next day is going to be the other Western Conference game, the one for the 8 seed, and then I'm guessing Friday is going to be the game for the 8 seed in the East. So they're making a whole week out of this, and I got to be honest, that's not actually a bad idea, to turn a whole week and do one game a night. like, that's going to be kind of fun to see. Whichever day the West gets in there is going to be interesting content. And here on the podcast, we can have content for days, because when you add stakes to games, all of a sudden those games really actually start to matter. So ain't that going to be kind of pure show? And to do, I mean, to do the cliche, like, playoff breakdown is something we can wait for until we have the seeding, and doing the day-by-day thing is interesting. Something that I did find interesting, and this was kind of, I talked about Portland a second ago, is that Portland has, like, the 29th ranked defense this year, and yet they've been so tremendous offensively that they find themselves, like, in a normal season, close to winning 50 games. And it's just crazy how good Portland has been in spite of all that, and they're probably going to end up in the, probably, like, close to the 5 seed, if I had to guess right. Like, Portland's going to be pretty close to that one, which is kind of weird, right? Like, everything that's gone on for them over the past 2 years. Because we were talking about this earlier with Sabrina Merchant, who is going to be on the podcast tomorrow, is that the Portland Trailblazers have pretty much gotten to this point where they peaked. And I talked about this last week when there was the report of Terry Stotts planning to be fired. And, you know, we talked about that. We talked about who is the coach? Is it Bjorkgren? I think that's the coach. Bjorkgren was the guy who's going to get fired by the Pacers. And basically the other thing is that the thing I realized that the New York Knicks are just the new Pacers, but we'll get to that in a little bit. The thing that I found interesting about the Portland Trailblazers was that they might be ready to go all in, but now I look at the way this is structured right now, and, you know, they end the season kind of with a tough stretch. The Blazers end with, they beat the Jazz yesterday, and that was like a big thing for them, but they end the season with the Suns and the Nuggets. But the fact that they were able to beat the Jazz, and we talked about this on Monday when we were, like, coming up with the full schedule, is, like, Portland is playing meaningful games and winning meaningful games down the stretch of the season. But with the defensive liability, we expect them to regress to the mean at some point, which, by the way, I have a joke about the Kansas City Royals that I made about the Royals having one of the best records in baseball, then losing 10 straight, and I was just like, That's the thing that, like, gets me off, is just regressing to the mean like that. And so the Kansas City Royals had that, and the Blazers, we would expect the same thing, but since there's only 2 games left in the season, they may not regress to the mean, and they might end up in the 5 seed because they hold a tiebreaker over the Dallas Mavericks, who did win yesterday. Like, the Mavericks, the Lakers, and the Blazers all won yesterday, so there's really nothing new to report there, because all 3 of them won yesterday, and the Warriors are on a win streak. But you can notice kind of, like, what is important coming down the stretch here when you see the Jazz, who have already pretty much locked up the 1 seed, 2-game losing streak. Suns, who have pretty much locked up the 2 seed, 2-game losing streak. Clippers, fighting to avoid the 4 seed, they're on a 1-game win streak. Nuggets, trying to fight to get the 3 seed, 1-game win streak. Blazers, desperately fighting for the 5, 6, 7 spot. They've won 5 in a row. Mavericks have won 1 in a row. Lakers have won 3 in a row. Warriors, 4 in a row. Grizzlies, 3 in a row for the Memphis Grizzlies. They're 5-5 in their last 10, so the Grizzlies have just kind of picked it up recently. So these teams that, like, still have things to play for keep holding on, just desperately trying to keep this alive. But the now the San Antonio Spurs have 2.5 to play up against the Sacramento Kings, and they are, with 3 to play, they're 2.5 up on the Sacramento, or they're 2 up on the Kings with 3 to play, so they just have to not choke this thing away and let the Sacramento Kings make the playoffs. If you're Sacramento, it's kind of sad. Like, Sacramento's just desperately trying to keep pace in the Western Conference at this point. It's just such desperation for a team that's obviously not good enough, but they've won 2 in a row, and guess what? You get to play the Grizzlies, and you get to play the Grizzlies again, and you get to play the Jazz to close out the season. So you know what? 3 games to go, maybe there's still a chance. It was a good meme that I made on Take It Easy Pod that the Kings are just desperately trying to claw back and catch the San Antonio Spurs at this point. They're 3 games back with 3 to play to just desperately try and, like, make their way into just an utterly meaningless playoff spot. But since they're not tanking, that playoff spot becomes infinitely more important if you're the the Sacramento Kings at this point, so laughing at that. Kind of got sidetracked from that Blazers point a little bit, didn't I? Just kind of going right now. Like, we're just kind of going with basketball talk, and I think that's probably going to dominate the show. If I had to venture a wild guess, I imagine basketball talk is going to dominate the show here on Open Talk and on YouTube. Shout out to everyone live streaming this sucker here on YouTube as well. And this is the fun week, right? This is the to be honest, I haven't watched that much because I have to train myself to get back into the things on basketball. I have to train myself to watch some of these games. But like tonight, 76ers play the Heat, and that could have some interesting meaning in terms of how this is going to play out, because if you go to the Eastern Conference, similar type trends here. Nets have won three in a row as they try and catch the Sixers right up at the very end here with 2.5 to play, and they need some help from Miami to get a win, but they're desperately fighting for a playoff spot, and they've won three in a row, and the Hawks have won two in a row, and the Pacers have won two in a row. The Eastern Conference is just generally bad, but the Boston Celtics, you know, it's all falling apart for them. Like, the wheels just fell off on their season, and the Hornets and Pacers are both just desperately trying to not get the eight spot. It's kind of just funny how that one's gone down, but there's all kinds of, like, if you look down, you can find meaning pretty much everywhere on these lists. And so it makes for such interesting basketball at this point. And we were talking about this with Strike Height, is just the intrigue of the different teams who are, like, second-round exit. This is the time to kind of talk about those teams. Those teams that are not going to matter because they're going to get bounced earlier, this is that time to talk about them. Because we know the nuances of how good the Nets are and the Bucks, and they're going to have some epic seven-game series that are going to captivate our emotions, and we're going to get deep into it once it gets there, because we always do. Whether it matters or not, we always get deep into these, like, games that matter a whole lot, like the Nets versus the Bucks, which of course we would. Like, they're the games that we wait the whole season for. Like, playoff basketball with stakes is what at least I wait all season to get those types of games. And it's going to be really, really fun to see it play out, whether or not, you know, if there's a Hornets first-round series against the Sixers, yeah, okay, they're going to be favored in every game by, like, 7 or 8 points, sure. But if you get some of these, like, super fun matchups in there, like Atlanta Hawks, who, you know, play the Heat, and it's interesting, or the Hawks play the Bucks, because the joke I was making about Hawks and Bucks, and I kind of want that to be the series, and even though I'm a Trae Young stan and I believe in the Hawks magic, I kind of want Hawks to be in the six so they can get bounced by the Bucks, because that's like a second TV game. It's like, okay, you're really captivated by this series between the Suns and the Lakers, and that's a first TV game. But a second TV game is when the Milwaukee Bucks play the Atlanta Hawks. So there's like a winner-go-home hockey game that's like dominating your attention. And again, I only get interested in playoff hockey when it rolls around. But let's say there's a last second moment that you're just holding on for dear life to just this great hockey game going into double overtime. Hawks and Bucks is the second TV game for most of these series. It's like, you want to watch the series, you're not going to skip it outright, but it's just going to be on the second TV. It's something you go to when the other one goes into commercial break, or in the case of my computer, it's just the second tab. It's up and the game is running, but it's just on the second tab of your screen. That's what Hawks-Bucks series and the Knicks-Bucks series too feels like. It's like whenever the Indiana Pacers – well, I guess when the Indiana Pacers play, like when they get swept out by Boston and score 60-something points in a playoff game, which they did in 2019, or when the Indiana Pacers got swept by Miami last year. Like, those are series that you can just skip altogether. But now and then there is that you got to just, like, wait and see what happens. Just keep tuning in, see what's going to happen. Maybe you're going to get some kind of intrigue, and it's a second TV game. Even though you're pretty certain of the results, it's still a fun series to watch. Unlike, you know, like, Orlando was always a second TV series. Like, you always wanted to peek in to see what Orlando was going to do. Just, you knew that they weren't going to win the series, but you just wanted to see it because it was interesting. It's a second TV game. There's one that really matters. Like, last year it was Portland and the Lakers in the first round. Like, you're definitely going to tune into that, or you're definitely tuning in to the Utah Jazz against the Denver Nuggets. Like, you're definitely tuning into those. But the other ones are second TV games. You're just holding out hope, just waiting to see if it's something that's going to pique your interest, because something really crazy and weird just might end up happening. So you got to make sure that you have that second TV game going strong. That second TV game always has to be strong when it comes to playoff time. And this is the fun stuff that I like talking about in these, like, long-form discussions. It's just a nuanced conversation, or a nuanced me talking, because this technically is a conversation with myself and that miniature voice that you have in your head that you can relay conversations off of. But it's like you've got this nuanced, like, 10-minute conversation about the second TV game. And the second TV series this year is three-seeded Bucks against whoever they end up playing. Like, if Brooklyn plays the Hornets, might be a second TV game. You want to see what Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and James Harden have playing together, because they're probably going to get to play together again. Did they play together yesterday? I know the Brooklyn Nets. Harden came back yesterday against the Spurs, but I don't know if all three of them played together. Harden came off the bench. Looked like no Kyrie. So no Kyrie in that game. I guess that was just his night off. And Mike James getting significant minutes. And Landry Shamet, that was a damn good pickup for them. I just like to say they fleeced a first-round pick, and I think that pick turned into Sadiq Bey, who's actually been pretty good. But to get Luke Kennard for Landry Shamet was tough for the Clippers. Landry Shamet has been awesome for the Brooklyn Nets this year. He's just like a sharpshooter who – we mentioned Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin and Kyrie and James Harden and Joe Harris, who I don't think Joe Harris is playing either. And even you could throw Jeff Green in the mix with his 16 points in 19 minutes. But it's so interesting when you just have that that Landry Shamet, who's going to obviously be in the rotation with Luwawu Cabarro and Tyler Johnson. It's going to be fun to see all of them in that shortened rotation once you get your starting five. Well, I guess Joe Harris might come off the bench, but you get Kyrie, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, like Bruce Brown as your fifth guy, and then you have Joe Harris and Jeff Green and Luwawu, and then you've kind of just got Landry Shamet. And Landry Shamet's, you know, once you shrink the roster, might not give you significant minutes, but he'll give you a shot here and there. And if he gets 35 minutes because he needs to start, Landry Shamet can get you 21 points like he did against the Spurs. So that one turned out nice for the Nets. But any Nets series early on feels like a second TV game, or maybe depending on which games are on that night, maybe it's a first TV game. Because the first-round matchups are going to be super fascinating. A lot of them are going to be, like, I don't think there's any first-round matchup, at least the way I'm looking at it and the way it's going to play out. I don't think there's any first-round matchup that's like, okay, it's going to be a four-game sweep or a five-game sweep and we don't have to watch it. There's no, like, Pistons when they lost Blake Griffin in the playoffs, but Blake Griffin ended up carrying them to the playoffs because they got the eighth seed because Blake Griffin made an All-NBA second team. Like, I don't think there's a series like that. Maybe if Boston gets to one of these, Boston would be that series where you can just skip it. And we're just waiting for the articles to be written or the columns to be written, as I did last year with the Rockets and company. Like, we're just waiting for the articles to be written about how where to go from here for the Boston Celtics. But we got out ahead of the curve. We just started doing it on radio yesterday. So you're waiting for the articles to be like, here's where the Boston Celtics stand right now. And that's where everything's going from this point going forward. And this is where the Boston Celtics stand. So that's something that you're looking out for. And then, of course, you're just like, wait and see, wait and see, wait and see. And then all of a sudden you're going to get Boston getting bounced and you never watched a game in the series or whatever it might be. I was also laughing about the arena earlier. They're like, it would be just anarchy if the Spurs just end up making the playoffs at this point. But the Spurs, Spurs got to fight off that push by the Sacramento Kings here late in the standings. So can never get too comfortable with those Sacramento Kings. You can never quite get too comfortable with those good old Sacramento Kings, who are the new Knicks because they're actively trying to win, but also are the worst team in the NBA that's actively trying to win. Although they did just pass the Toronto Raptors in record. So maybe the Raptors are now the best team in the NBA not trying to win. No, other way around. They are the worst team in the NBA actively trying to win. The best team not trying to win. I guess I'd have to look at the standings again. Who's the best team not trying to win? Like, who's tanking but not tanking the right way? Who's the new Chicago Bulls? Well, actually, the Chicago Bulls might still be the Chicago Bulls. Because the Bulls were always, like, the team that would get the 7th or 8th pick in the draft or the 6th pick where you knew they were tanking, but they just could never get lucky in the lottery, and they didn't give themselves, like, great odds. I guess that might technically be Cleveland. Maybe it's Cleveland. Maybe it's, let's see. Who else is tanking in here? Let's go to the Western Conference. Yeah, Timberwolves are pretty bad. Yeah, it looks like Cleveland is the new Chicago, where they're just, like, actively – they're trying to lose, but they're not doing a good job at it. So, Timberwolves, too. Timberwolves are going to have higher odds in the draft. Timberwolves, I think, have, like, the 6th odds right now, so it's not looking good for them right now, which is good that they've turned it around, but it's not looking good because, for those who don't know, the Minnesota Timberwolves have to get, I believe, a top 3 protected pick. They have to land in the top 3 to keep their pick, so I think right now it would go to the Golden State Warriors if they don't land in the top 3. And then, let's see, so Houston needs, they need top 4 protection. So Houston needs to land in the top 4, but good news for them, they have the highest odds in the lottery right now. So they've got like a 56 to 60% chance of keeping that pick. Let's see, what does Detroit need? No, they're going to be protected in the top 16, so they're good. Oklahoma City has a chance here, theoretically, to get 2 top 5 picks if things fall perfectly for them. Orlando has the Bulls pick top 4 protected, so if the Bulls don't make the lottery, Orlando's going to have 2 top 10 picks, which is a great way to rebuild your team that way, is getting 2 top 10 picks, assuming the Bulls don't win the lottery, which would just be like pure chaos. The Bulls actually are kind of that team. The Bulls are in that same place they've always been, where they're just 8th or 9th pick in the draft, 5th, 6th, 7th, somewhere in there. Wendell Carter was 7. Kobe White was 6, I want to say. Patrick Williams, 4. He was the highest in the group. Who else was in there for the Bulls? Who was part of the, Wendell Carter, Kobe White. Who else was a draft pick in there? I guess they traded Lauri Markkanen for Jimmy Butler. Lauri Markkanen was 8, 7 or 8. And then Kobe was 6 and Wendell was 7. So just like 6-7 pick over and over. They're still technically there. This year they've got the 8 pick right now. So they're kind of just the same team that they've been, which is, I mean, it's a tough pill to swallow if you're Chicago, that you're just the exact team. But now you don't even get your pick because you would have to win lottery to get your pick. So that's a tough. Orlando and OKC might end up with top 10 picks at this point, which is a good reality for them. New Orleans has a bunch of picks in there. Oklahoma City could walk away with 2 top 5 picks. The Magic could walk away with a top 5 pick and like the 8th pick of the draft. That's a pretty damn good situation to be in. That's the lottery odds. And the Bulls might actually be the worst team actively trying to win at this point, which, you know, that sucks. To be that team is like the sadness of a franchise that is that's a sadness for these franchises that is just really hard to have. Is to be the Sacramento Kings or New Orleans, you got Zion, so you're chilling. Orlando, you got hope. You got the Bulls pick top 4 protected, so the Bulls are not as good as we thought it was going to be, so Orlando played their cards right there. We were also talking about this with Sabrina. Like, Orlando is just going to be a fascinating experiment in roster construction over the next few years. It's going to be fascinating to see how this works out for the Orlando Magic. That one's going to be really interesting to watch. Is there anything else in the middle of the pack? I mean, we could just laud over Steph Curry stats and how crazy the Warriors have been. Do they play tomorrow? Yeah, they play tomorrow. They only have 2 games left, actually. I didn't realize they play a back-to-back doubleheader. Beat the Jazz, beat the Suns. They beat the 2 best teams in the West back-to-back. Beat the Thunder big time, which, of course, they did that twice. then lost to the Pelicans. It's an interesting situation that the Warriors find themselves in, because we've talked a lot before about Steph Curry and his, like, way of carrying the Warriors, but I don't think we really talk enough about, like, the superstar potential and how superstars – the realm of superstars is changing. The way I think about this is Jimmy Butler, because yesterday I was looking at the win share numbers for the season, and Jokic is below 0.3 win shares per 48, which, again, we had talked before, only Wilt, MJ, and LeBron had done it before, and each had done it multiple times, but no one else had had over 0.3 win shares per game. And Jokic is down to 0.292, and that's even below Giannis last year, but Giannis ran away with the MVP award, so Jokic is going to run away with it this year. And one of the things that we talked about, or at least I came to a conclusion about, around Jimmy Butler, is that Jimmy Butler is now entering his prime. He's probably in the middle of his prime. Last year he entered his prime. Jimmy Butler is entering his prime. He's in the midst of it right now. And a lot of these superstars that we've associated with past success in the NBA, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Kevin Durant, still amazing, and I could throw Chris Paul, Steph Curry. I could throw all those guys into the mix there. And a lot of them are now exiting their primes. Russell Westbrook on there too. Like, people that we associate with 2016 NBA. And I point to 2016 NBA because I think 2016 NBA was like the pinnacle of that generation of basketball, where you have the Spurs who won, I want to say they went like 41-1 at home that year, and they were the second seed in the West. And the Warriors went 73-9, and OKC was the 3 seed, but they won 60 games in the regular season. And then in the East, you had LeBron and DeMar DeRozan. They played in the conference finals, and you had Kyrie Irving, who is, you know, entering his prime to an extent. And then you also had, I mentioned Kawhi Leonard there. You had James Harden and the Rockets, where Harden had that bad season, but the next season, second in the MVP, next season, first in the MVP. It was Harden's down year in 2016 in the midst of 4 out of 5 years, he ended up being top two in the MVP voting. Like, people don't realize just how dominant James Harden was over these past few years. So you have the Splash Brothers in Golden State. You've got 66 win San Antonio. You've got 60 win Oklahoma City. You've got the Cavs as the number one seed. You've got Toronto in the midst of their run. So that's kind of like the golden era that I'm talking about. And we had, you know, obviously the people I mentioned, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden. Those are the players that we associate with this, like, 2010s era of basketball. And a lot of them were in their primes at this time. And so in 2016-17, most of them were in their prime. And you can throw Damian Lillard in the mix, too. Like, Damian Lillard comes a little after those guys, but still, you could put Damian Lillard in that same camp. He's just a little bit younger than those people that we were mentioning. Like, people drafted in the 2000s, came of age in the early 2010s, and then entered their primes in the mid to late 2010s. And it's the era of basketball we associate in our minds with this present era that we're talking about. It's Chris Paul. And Chris Paul, I think, was on the Lob City Clippers, and they were the 4 seed in the West at that point. So you've got Lob City Clippers. You've got James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, all those people that we associate with the present state of basketball. Like Steph Curry, he's become kind of the poster child for that generation of non-LeBron and non-Kevin Durant. Because LeBron and Kevin Durant are these all-time greats, and Steph Curry's there too, but Steph Curry ages like a traditional star. Steph Curry is like the Dwayne Wade to LeBron James and Kevin Durant. But Kevin Durant and LeBron James come even earlier than Russell Westbrook, James Harden. Russell Westbrook was 2008, James Harden was 2009, Kawhi Leonard 2011, Damian Lillard 2012, and Kawhi's obviously battled injury. Steph Curry 2009, Blake Griffin 2009, Chris Paul 2005. Like, these are players drafted earlier on who then come of age in the 2000s and then enter their prime in the mid to late 2010s. So those players are now exiting their primes. James Harden is exiting his prime. Steph Curry is exiting his prime, even if it doesn't look like it. But Steph Curry's game is going to age gracefully. Russell Westbrook has exited his prime, or he's exiting his prime. He plays a lot on bad teams now, but he's exiting his prime. He's going to play for bad teams and be really exciting for the next few years. Russell Westbrook appears to be done, like, as a championship caliber player. He's going to be on a lot. He's been the star player. Then he went to be second fiddle in Houston. And now it looks like the next stage of Westbrook's career is kind of like take over Russ on bad teams. But he's going to be super fun to watch. But he's exiting his prime is the point that I want to make there. Kawhi Leonard exiting his prime. Kawhi Leonard, if he were to hit free agency this offseason, would definitely be signing a four-year deal to make sure that he guarantees himself that money. And Kawhi, although he's younger than those people that we mentioned, a lot of his injuries. Steph Curry, 32, 33 years old, exiting his prime. So we mentioned all those guys who come to define that era, and all of them are starting to become the old guys. Chris Paul, same situation. And Jimmy Butler this year is third in the league in win shares. And you look at the people at the top of the win shares list of who the best players in basketball are right now, like we associate playoffs a little differently. But if you look at the best players in basketball according to win shares, and again, win shares is the one that most reflects the eye test. The win share statistic is the one that most reflects the eye test in terms of who is greatness in the sport. The list is new generation. It's one Jokic, two Joel Embiid, three Jimmy Butler, four Giannis Antetokounmpo. Then Kawhi Leonard comes in. But Kawhi Leonard's on the young end of those guys we were talking about. Kawhi Leonard is 2011. The guys we were talking about, Westbrook, 3 years older. Obviously, Kawhi came out a little later, but Westbrook a year older than him. James Harden, or Harden year older, Westbrook 2 years older. Chris Paul is probably like 4 or 5 years older than Kawhi Leonard at this point. So Kawhi Leonard's on the young end of this. And then Rudy Gobert is on that list of win share guys. So the newer generation of guys are the ones who are now at the top of the win share statistic, which means they are playing the best basketball in the world right now. Like in terms of like specifically calculable, analytically based. This is not like who's the best player in basketball, who do you trust down the stretch, and all the weird stuff that we do with like factoring in playoffs, because of course, like we expect LeBron James is great, Kawhi Leonard is great in the playoffs, Kevin Durant great in the playoffs, but statistically this year they're not on those lists. Some to do with injuries and some just sitting out. But in terms of like, but Jimmy Butler sat out too. He's up on that win share list. And win shares per 48, it's not the guys that we see at the top because they know the playoffs are there. This is the new generation of guys. And I can go down the list to the Devin Bookers, to Donovan Mitchell, who's starting to come of age. Those guys are younger. Jason Tatum is younger. But in terms of like stars from that era entering their prime, it's Jimmy Butler firmly entrenched in his prime. It's Giannis entering his prime. It's Embiid entering his prime. That's and think about the draft class, 2013. Embiid, 2014. Devin Booker, 2015. Jason Tatum, 2017. Donovan Mitchell, 2017. These are guys who are now starting to come of age and take the mantle as, like, best players in the world from the people that we all associate as the best players in basketball. And it's a fascinating transition period because it happens in front of our eyes, and it happened a generation before. Like, as the people we just talked about, Steph, Kawhi, Westbrook, like we said, non-LeBron and KD camp. So, but you could argue they were coming of age, too. LeBron, KD, Steph, Harden, Kawhi. The people that we associate with this era of basketball, those guys were starting to take the mantle as they came of age from Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and that ultimately culminated with the Heat bouncing them a couple times. You could throw Derrick Rose in there pre-injury too. But those guys were starting to take the mantle from Tim Duncan, from who we mentioned, Kevin Garnett, from Ray Allen, from Dirk Nowitzki, from Steve Nash, from Kobe Bryant. The mantle was starting to be handed down around 2011, 2012, 2013 as those guys were coming of age. And you saw in terms of win shares, LeBron was always number one in win shares. Dwayne Wade was up there in win shares. He had entered his prime similar to what Jimmy Butler is, where he was just older than the rest of those people. Dwayne Wade aged earlier than everyone else because Dwayne Wade was older and more so into his prime. At around 2008, 2009. So he was just older than everyone else. So you had LeBron, Kevin Durant taking the mantle because he was always up there in the scoring title and win shares. You had Steph Curry was starting to develop a little bit there. But the idea is like the mantle was starting to shift to Kawhi Leonard in draft in 2011. By 2013, he's significantly contributing. And by 2014, he's finals MVP. Kyrie Irving is starting to take the mantle a little bit as he develops into 2015 when the mantle had been handed off. But this era of the 2000s that we all associate with the 2000s, by this change of the decade, that mantle was shifting because primes were beginning to be exited. And we're seeing that exact same shift right now as we come up on this playoffs, where we look around and we're like, do we trust the Clippers? Do we trust the Lakers? Do we think that they're actually going to make some significant leaps down the stretch here? And I see Jimmy Butler being right up there. I'm like, Jimmy Butler gets a significant MVP credit more than the names that we throw out, like people saying LeBron's the MVP, Chris Paul is the MVP. Those guys have no statistics to back up the fact that they are the MVP. Jokic is going to win it, but Jokic comes from the younger generation too. 2014 draft class, Nikola Jokic. No, 2013 draft class was Jokic. He's either 13 or 14, but those are the players coming of age. It's 2013 Giannis, 14 Embiid, 13 or 14, I don't remember exactly. I think Jokic is 14, so 14 Jokic. 15 Devin Booker, 17 Jason Tatum, 17 was Donovan Mitchell, and they're now the one seed. Gobert, 2013. These are guys that are now entering their primes or have entered their primes in the case of Jimmy Butler, because he was 2012, I want to say. Jimmy Butler was 2012 draft class. So he's starting, and he was a late developer because he was like the 30th pick. The same thing with Jokic, where they were late developers. He was like the 30th pick in the draft, playing on terrible Chicago Bulls teams, where it wasn't until, or he was like deep down the bench. The Bulls teams weren't bad. He was just deep down the bench on good Bulls teams. And then by 2015, the Bulls started to suck, and that's when Jimmy Butler finally got a chance to establish himself. He was caught in purgatory for a little bit. But it's those guys who are now taking the mantle. And if you want to throw Julius Randle and Victor Oladipo in the mix, you can throw those two in as well. I know Victor Oladipo has come and gone now because of injuries, but you can throw those in the mix if you really think that those guys are great. But that's the coming of age that you're starting to see from those generations is Giannis has arrived. Jokic has arrived. Devin Booker has arrived, and he's got Chris Paul to help him. He's got the old man to help him out in taking that mantle. You could go over to, I mean, the Brooklyn Nets are trying to keep everything alive, and it's why people, the idea that people are doubting Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving is a testament to this point that I'm saying, is that these guys are all exiting their primes at this point. Kyrie Irving, I want to say, is 31 years old, if I had to guess. Let's see, Kyrie Irving age. Kyrie Irving is 29. Okay, so Kyrie Irving is firmly in his prime right now. Kevin Durant is 32. That's exiting his prime. But also Kyrie Irving's got the injuries, like Kawhi Leonard. He's got the injuries that are hurting him. Kevin Durant, 32, 1 year younger than Steph, and Steph is very much exiting his prime. Like, Steph Curry does not have 4 years of prime MVP basketball ahead of him. James Harden, 31, he is exiting his prime. He's a year younger than Kevin Durant. Came of age in the early 2010s and dominated the late 2010s. They are starting to fade to the background. And Giannis, Jokic, Joel Embiid, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, those guys, technically Jimmy Butler, I'm just going through the list in my head there. If you want to throw Randle in there too, whatever, the Knicks are kind of good. They're going to get bounced in the first round, but they're kind of good. Those guys came of age in the late 2010s. This is why I do generations by like 5 years. That generation came of age in the 2010s, late 2010s, and now the early 2020s are where they are about to dominate. It might not be this year. I thought it would be last year where Giannis and Kawhi would start to take over, but those guys came of age in the late 2010s, and now in the early 2020s, it's their NBA. And it's their turn where they're going to take the mantle, and then by 22, 23, 24, domination. And these time frames get slowed down because people last longer now. But the Lakers, there's a lot of distrust around what that team is, because if you look at their lineup yesterday, it's like Talen Horton Tucker and Wes Matthews getting significant minutes. When you take LeBron and AD and Caruso, which Caruso just happened to miss the game yesterday, when you take those out of the roster looks pretty barren for the Lakers. And I don't think people trust them, given that you had some adjusting to do to get to this point, but they're in some significant trouble because they don't have time to ease into this. Anthony Davis is not 100% healthy. LeBron James is clearly still trying to recover, so he's clearly not 100% healthy. And the Lakers are just kind of holding on for dear life. And if not the Lakers, kind of a crapshoot in the West. Acknowledging that the Clippers are and that's going to be used to in the NBA, that's going to make it insanely fun when we come down the stretch here towards the final end of the postseason. But recognize that sometime in the next couple of years, I'm not sure if it's going to be this year or next year, the mantle is going to be taken. We've already seen the signs of this. Kawhi dominated 2019. That was the kind of like picturesque. The Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson injuries were kind of the symbolic death of that generation. That was like the symbolic end of that generation, was Klay Thompson tearing his knee, Kevin Durant tearing his Achilles, Kawhi Leonard winning the championship, and then going to the Clippers. Like, that was the symbolic end of the Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, the Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, LeBron James, Kevin Durant. That was like the symbolic end of that generation. Thinking that, like, obviously, there's no perfect moment when things transition, but you're starting to, like, transitions take 3 years, and then you have a period like 2017, 18, 19, where that generation, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, those are the dominant teams. That generation of came of age in the early 2010s, dominated the late 2010s by 5 year periods. So came of age the first 5 years of the 2010s, dominated the last 5 years. Their symbolic event, Kevin Durant joining the Warriors. That was the moment where the old generation was gone, new generation is going to dominate 2017, 2018, and 2019. And last year, we started to see the transition because think about who was coming out of the Western Conference last year. Clippers lose. So think about the final, let's say the final eight teams last year. You had Lakers, which to be fair, they have Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis is this come of age in the early 2010s, dominate the early 2020s. So Anthony Davis, obviously LeBron's the best player, but Anthony Davis is from that same generation. I forgot to mention him. Giannis, Jokic, AD. AD's in that generation too. He's paired with LeBron and it creates this awesome team, but he's part of that generation too. So you've got Anthony Davis coming of age in the 2020s. You've got Jokic coming of age in the late 2010s. He's part of the new 2020 generation, made the conference finals, Eastern Conference Finals. Jason Tatum, who's still technically coming of age right now, and Jimmy Butler in his prime, he's the dominate the late 2020s guy. Go to the teams that each of those teams beat. Clippers, old guard, lose to the Nuggets. Now, the Clippers might turn it around in this weird transition phase, but no guarantees there. And then you can go to the Lakers. They beat the old guard, knocked out James Harden, Russell Westbrook, each of them dispersed, knocked out the old guard. Heat and Bucks, both new guard, but dominated the Eastern Conference. And Boston beat Toronto, knocked out the old guard of the Eastern Conference. So we're seeing the transition right now. And what the transition is going to look like is LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph, KD, all those teams fade to the background, and Giannis, Anthony Davis, which is difficult because Anthony Davis and LeBron play for the same team, but Giannis, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Jokic, Joel Embiid, all those guys are coming to the forefront of this is their era, and they are going to dominate for the next 5 years, 4 years now technically. Like 2025 is when we'll start to see the Jason Tatum's a little bit closer because he's 2018, so he's kind of caught in the – or 2017, so he's caught in the middle there. That's when we're going to start to see the coming of age of – Yeah, we're going to see the coming of age of Zion. We're going to see the coming of age of Ja Morant. We're going to see the coming of – we're witnessing it right now, that the early 2020s are Ja Morant coming of age, Zion Williamson coming of age, Jason Tatum coming of age, and then it'll be his era to dominate. Donovan Mitchell, it'll be his era to dominate after that. I'm trying to think here. Donovan Mitchell might get caught in the middle like Jimmy Butler, to be honest. Donovan Mitchell's pretty close to a Jimmy Butler in terms of, like, straddling the line. Cade Cunningham is someone people are high on. He'll start to come of age in the next half decade. Who else am I missing in here? 2019 draft. Who's great? Oh, Luka Doncic. Forgot about Luka. Yeah, Luka Doncic will start to come of age right now, and then he'll start to dominate the late 2020s. And they'll take the mantle from Giannis, and they'll take the mantle from Jokic, and they'll take the mantle from Joel Embiid, and those guys start to exit their primes. So this is the era that's going to start to dominate the early 2020s into the late 2020s, into the late 2020s, and then the mantle is going to be taken again. But right now, we're in the middle of that transition period, and it makes for really compelling storylines and really compelling basketball. I think both are fun. I'm not going to say one's more fun than the other. I think the transition periods can be just as fun as once all these guys hit their primes, because then you get epic duels between the Warriors and Rockets. And then in the transition period, you get epic duels between the Lakers and the Nuggets. And you get epic duels between the Bucks and the Heat as they try to establish themselves. And you get this year epic duels between the 76ers and the Heat. You get epic duels between Brooklyn and Milwaukee. So I'm not going to say one's better than the other, but boy, does it make for fascinating basketball as it comes down the home stretch. Whew. We're coming down the home stretch of this transition. This is something that's like I can now talk about. Now that I've put this all out here, this is something that I can talk about in depth over the next, you know, few generations or the next generation, so the next 5 years. This is something that things in sports move in five-year increments. 5 years is what I typically define as a generation in sports. So all these things move in five-year increments. This is fun. This is fun to lay it all out there and put all these thoughts into an event book. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping in to the Take It Easy radio show. I got to go get me a vaccine this afternoon, so we're going to cut this one short by about 10 minutes. Remember, subscribe to Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. Check out Wrestle Talk in the D. Check out the Game Chat Boys. Check out all the cool content, all the cool guests coming in here on Open Talk, as well as tuning into our podcast, the Take It Easy podcast. We're going to have a rap video, the whitest rap video in the world tomorrow. I mentioned Sabrina Merchant, her podcast that we did earlier today is going to drop tomorrow. Check all of that cool stuff out. And ladies and gentlemen, have a great day and take it easy. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you for stopping in here on Open Talk.